to get to the last day.
Well, good this morning.
Good morning, this question. So to introduce today's shiur on the counting of the Omer. So, a well-known question. If, as it is explained in many of the commentators, and in fact it's mentioned in the Midrash, it's hinted at clearly in the Pesukim, that one of the concepts of counting the Omer is to count the days when we release from Egyptian enslavement, to reach the true purpose of the exodus from Egypt, which was to reach the level of receiving divine revelation at Sinai. As it says in the first revelation of Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, when you take out the people from Egypt, you should serve Hashem on this mountain of Sinai. And the same, when there is the noon there, at the end of Tavdun, is explained to refer to the 50 days from the day they went out from Egypt, the 15th of Nisan, until going through many trials in the desert, they reached the height of what it says in the 19th chapter of Shemois, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, the people encamped opposite the mountain of Sinai, like one person with one heart, to receive divine prophecy. So what is the concept of the counting of the days? It's like a person who has been freed, who's been told, prepare yourself, you're a slave, or you're a prisoner, and in 50 days you'll be able to become a free man. So you count the days. How do you count the days? You start with one. You start with 49 days, and then you go down. 49 days till I'm free. We know the ultimate. Zaman Chirutenu is the phrase we use from being released from Egyptian enslavement and persecution. Nevertheless, it's not complete freedom. And we say the people are only considered free with Chirut ala Luchot, when they accepted the Torah. And the same idea is also in the four expressions of redemption, where it says, I'll take you out, this is the sixth chapter of Shemot. I'll take you out from enslavement of Egypt. But the fourth, it's only when you reach the fourth level, I will take you for myself unto a nation which is only fulfilled with the giving of the Torah. And then we count the days, as the counting should be the other way around. In fact, in the previous year we answered that question. In fact, the Doran gave the answer. Why we count from 1 till 49, is then 49 till 1. What answer did you give last time? You gave?
Because we're not only looking forward, but we're also growing spiritually.
It's a question of growth. See, there's another parable you can give. But the sages say, the people of Israel became engaged to Hashem when he took us out from Egypt. V'rasif li l'olam, as we say in the morning of the tefillin, l'ashon of arusa. But they became married to Hashem, as it were, at Har Sinai. That is why many of the customs of getting married are like parallel by the giving of the Torah at Sinai. In fact, Hashem made the mountain like a chuppah to cover over the chosen and the kal, as it were. In this instance, the kal is Am Yisrael, the chosen is Hashem, as it were, kibiachol. So also the lights which one takes of the chuppah represent the lights, the lightning which took place given the Torah. The two sets of parents, on both sides, the chos and the kala, is like Moshe and Aaron, and the giving of the ketuvah is like the giving of the Torah. So many of the customs of marriage go back to the concept, of course, only as a symbol, as a metaphor, of the bond which took place between Hashem and the people of Israel. So it's like one compares it to a couple who get engaged, and quite many of them, they say, well, it's another 50 days till the chuppah, so they count the days. 50 days, 49 days, 48 days, like you said. Yeah, but that's the concept of being in suspense. But there's another aspect. Chosen and kala, in fact, our custom is like that as well. They have to have in the days from the engagement to the marriage, they've also got to learn to build up a preparation for married life. So generally speaking, one has a madrich to demonstrate to both sides, the chos and the kala, how they've got to prepare themselves, how they've got to grow in their character and their behavior to make a good marriage. A good marriage depends, let's say, if in previous life in yeshiva you've been accustomed that in some of the yeshivas it's like that, where you don't have to lift a finger, you've got everything is done for you. Don't have to take up any job just to sit and learn and be concerned that you make progress in your learning. And frequently you want to get a prize, so therefore you're working hard just about your learning. And you don't think so much of other people, what you've got to do. You've got no responsibilities in the yeshiva, just be a good person, and that's it. Don't have to do any cleaning of your room. You don't have to clear up your after you've eaten, clear up the table. You don't have any form of preparation. And therefore, you sometimes, in Torah society as well, and at home also, they tell you, oh, you just go to yeshiva, you know, you don't have to help us. So they don't get to, they've got used to the idea of what marriage entails. In marriage, you've got to always think of your marriage partner. You can't just expect your wife, she's going to do everything, even when she's pregnant and so on, you're not going to help her. And there are such situations. People, they become so self-centered. And that's why every chatan and kala, they need to have preparation, quite apart from all the preparation for the din and the special laws as well, of Tarat and Mishpacha, of which they weren't aware. And you have to learn all the dinim, because the people know in Haredi life, so you don't mix with the opposite sex. So you don't even know what it's like. You think that when you get married, some of the women think that surely the chosen's got to be like my best friend, my best female friend, and the chosen's got to be the best my male friend. They never get out of the friends. If they're going to marry, they don't know that, as they say today, what do they say, that man is from Mars and women are from Venus, two different planets. So how do you bring them together? You've got to bring them together, so they need training. Similarly, Am Yisrael was so far removed from Hashem, they have training. And therefore you have to build up each day to train in Midot. You've got to have training in Midot, how to behave. That's one aspect. Now, I would be very grateful, now for this shiur, first we'll sit around the table. Can you sit nearer on the table? It's easier. And everyone take for yourselves a Jerusalem Bible. Because to understand, Sefirat HaOvot, we've spoken a lot about it, but let's analyze certain things which are in really written in the Chumash, but you've got to be able to see it clearly. This year is going to be based, we've started talking about already, what's the difference between the Shemitah and the Yovel, and what's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. We explained already that Pesach is referred to as Shabbos, although it was Yom Tov. That we've heard from previous year. And now I'm going to ask you some things. It's all interrelated.
How can you have 2 years? Without, if the 49th year is a Shemitah year, and the 50th year is Yovel year, you can't reap the fields. It's just 2 years. So what are you going to eat?
So that's when you get a blessing for an extra year. So the 49th, it says already, Hashem gives a blessing for 3 years in the sixth year, in order to include the possibility of Yovel. But it's even if we say follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, it's also a question, I might say, because when if you have the 50th year, if it's an additional year, it's certainly a strong question. And even if you say that Rabbi Yehuda, the 50th year is the first year of the next Shemitah, but it is more serious. Because then you're having a Shemitah followed by another Shemitah, as it were. Because also, if there's a Yovel, when there is a Jubilee, then all the laws of Shemitah also apply. So having 2 consecutive years of Shemitah. So the answer is, the blessing goes for 3 years. But now I'll deal with another matter. The clue for this is really given in 2 ways. First of all, we know that the way we count the days and the weeks. And that the Ashkenazi custom is that we say today is so and so many days, which is equivalent to so many weeks and so many days. That's how we say it in the Nusach Ashkenazi. But there are many Sephardim, also the Temanim, who know, so many of the Sephardic customs are to do it differently. And first of all, you count the days, and then you count the week separately. Because in the way counting, you count, there's so many days and so many weeks. It's not that they are equivalent. You try a different nusach. I'll give it to you. More exactly, that the Sephardim have it like this. You say, they say the word for Omer only by the days. Ayom asara yamim va'omer shem shavu echad v'shlosha yamim. That's what Sephardim do. They separate the two. So, we've got to understand what lies behind this. Behind this lies a statement made in the Gemara by Abaya that it's a mitzvah to count the days and a mitzvah to count the years. So is this one mitzvah or two mitzvot? Two separate ones. So the Rambam, and also even the others, the Bali Tosfot and the Rosh, there's a difference of opinion. Is Firat HaOmer today min HaTorah, or is it min HaRabbanan? If you, it's, for example, there is a custom amongst the some of the Ashkenazim, also you find it in the Vilna Siddur, and many others, that the only thing you say after counting the Omer, you say, Rachmon Yachzeh Beit HaMikdash, may Hashem give us back the Beit HaMikdash soon. In other words, they say that really counting the Omer today is only midrabanan, because there's no Omer. There's no Omer offering. There's no Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, the Zeichel HaMikdash. This is based upon the interpretation of a certain few Gemaras. where there is a statement, it's Zeichen HaMikdash, today. No problem. Because if you turn, let's turn to the key phrases. If you turn to chapter 23 of the Chumash, which is on page 145, let's have a look. What does it say? After describing the festival of Pesach, it then describes the bringing of the Omer, passage from verse 9 till verse 14, and in verse 15 says, "Osfatem lachem," you should count for yourself, Mohrat HaShabbat, from the day when you bring the Omer of the waving, 7 complete Shabbat, they should be until the morrow of the 7th Shabbat, there's Tishbru Chamishim Yom, you should count for 50 days, or up to 50 days. And then you bring a new offering to Hashem, new offering being the 2 loaves of bread. The Omer was brought in just as flour. It was a flour offering. It's not made into a cake or a loaf. So, it's all linked with the offering, with the service. It's linked together when you bring a new offering when it comes to Shavuot. Where do they bring offerings? Where were they brought? In the temple. So this is the way to fulfill it when there'll be a temple. When you've been in Eretz Israel, says Kitabu El Haaretz, verse 10. So therefore today we don't have the temple. So therefore today, counting the Omer is Midrabanan, and therefore you don't, and this is the opinion of Tosfos and Rosh and other Rishonim. Today, Tfilat to Omer is Midrabanan, and some even say that the fact that in the Omer period, there's a bit of a period of mourning, it's mourning for the loss of the Beit HaMikdash as well. Because we can't fulfill the mitzvah of Omer. Yeah. That is one opinion. Against that, we've got the opinion of the Rambam, and also the Chinuch, Tzimtzum Lakim, and other Rishonim, who says that the counting of the Omer is not dependent upon having a temple, having offerings. Even without the offerings, there's a mitzvah of the Torah. And he bases it also in part because Abaya says, the Gemara, that there's a mitzvah to count the days, a mitzvah to count the weeks, and the Rambam holds in Sefer Mitzvot use the expression, it's one mitzvah. Even though he says there's two parts to the mitzvah, it doesn't mean the two separate mitzvahs, and you don't make two brachot, and it applies at all times. Because when it says here, if you look carefully, it says you count them. So the implication is, okay, it's true the counting is from the day when you bring the Omer, which is where? In
the
Beit HaMikdash. And then it says though, it's Tishbru Chamishim Yom, we've got to count the days, you've got to count in any case. So the verse implies, in any case, you count. And the Rambam's proofs is one mitzvah. He says it's similar to, he's compared also to the count of the Shemitah and the Yovel. It's very interesting. It doesn't make the comparison because that's exactly the subject of the Mashiach of ours. The counting of the Shemitah and Yovel is somewhat similar. And also here, there's a din of counting. Who has to count? The Bedouin have to count. And they have to count to reach the Jubilee. So also they count 7 times Shemitah. Similar as you have 7 times a Shabbat, 7 times a week. 7 weeks and 7 Shemitah. And the conclusion, the 50th day or the 50th year. It's a parallel between the two. It's just like counting by Shemitah and Yovel is one mitzvah. That means there could be times when there's no Jubilee. But still, there's a mitzvah to count. But it's mitzvahs only on the best, and there's no mitzvah on individuals that have to count. Because Shemitah is for the whole country. So therefore it has to do with the best. But he says it's considered one mitzvah. It's the Shittas of Rambam. However, when Abhaya says it's a mitzvah to count days and weeks, days he learns out from this passage which we've just read here. But there's another passage. It's in Sefer Devarim. In Sefer Devarim, we also have a list of the festival in Parshat Re'eh. You have a look in look on page 231, the Jerusalem Bible. So there it also describes here, beginning of chapter 16, observance of Pesach. And after describing Pesach, in verse 9, it says, Shiva Shavuot Tisbolach, we should count 7 weeks, Me'achil Chemish Bakama, when the scythe begins to cut down the standing grain, Tachel Lispor, then you should start counting Shiva Shavuot, 7 weeks. Vasit Achag Shavuot Hashem, you should make a festival of weeks for Hashem. And then describes how you've got to, on that festival, you've got to help everyone else in your society, those who are poor, the Levite, and you've got to remember you were a slave in Egypt, therefore you should observe this festival. Then it goes over to Sukkot. Now, if you compare, sometimes you don't see the forest because you see too many trees. In other words, when you look at the parsha, it's important to look at the whole parsha also. So, can you explain to me? I want you to think about it. What is the difference between the way in which the festivals are described in this chapter 16 of Devarim, and the way in which the festivals were described in the book of Ayikra, in Parshat Emor, in the chapters we saw just before, chapters 23? And what's the difference between the way in which they're described? Here in the page, what's the difference at page 145, where we have the festivals, and page 231, where we have the festivals. Which festivals are mentioned in Parshat Re'eh, and which ones are mentioned in Parshat Emor? What's the difference? Do you notice any difference? Look, in Parshat Emor, after describing Pesach, what comes next? Go back to Vayikra. What comes after Pesach? Which festival? Which festival?
And you should count for yourselves and borrow after the Shabbos.
Sfira, yeah. What comes after Sfira?
Omer.
Pardon?
We're offering.
Also mentions mentions the final day, the day Mincha B'Shah, that's Shavuos. And then what is it mentioned after Shavuos?
The meal offering.
Huh?
The new meal offering to the...
And what is it described after Shavuos?
Wave loaves, two loaves, they shall bring.
That's all for Shavuos. What's described after Shavuos?
Number 50 days.
Huh?
Shall you... 50 days.
What comes after that? Which is the subject coming after the description of Shavuos? It's in chapter 23, verse 23.
On the 7th month, on the first day
what's that?
Of the month, you shall have a Shabbos.
What is it?
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. And what happens on verse 27 onwards? Which festival?
10th day, Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, and what's after Yom Kippur?
The Atonement, the Sukkot.
Sukkot, okay. Now, what's the purpose of Devarim? Why are there so many mitzvahs which are repeated in Devarim, called Mishneh Torah? Why is it repeated? One of the names for the Sefer Devarim is called Mishneh Torah, repetition of the Torah. Why was it repeated?
Because it was Moses who repeated it all his life before he died. He gave a speech.
Why? Why did he have to repeat it?
To remind the people.
Which people?
Am Yisrael.
Why did he have to remind them?
Because they might have forgot. They did 40 years in the desert and might have forgot.
Not only to remind them. What happened to the people who were given the Torah at Sinai? What of the other people given the Torah at Sinai? What happened?
Most of the people, nearly all of them.
What happened?
Most of them died.
They died
in the desert.
So therefore, this was a new generation to teach the new generation. And what was special about the new generation? Why did he give them? He gave them the mitzvot, but with a certain aspect which is emphasized and causes also certain additional din in. Which ones?
For Shabbat?
The whole of Sefer Devarim was given on the threshold of the entry into Eretz Yisrael, and all interrelated with the future settlement in the land, and also to do with the Beit HaMikdash, with the sanctuary. First, it was just the sanctuary, but there were certain laws concerning offerings that didn't apply when they were wandering in the desert. Therefore, all the mitzvot that are given in Mishneh Torah, they have additional chidush, they have new aspects which are especially important for them when they went into the land of Israel. So therefore here we have also, in this the specific festival list, is different to the one given in Vayikra. Can you tell me what's the major difference? There's a list of the festivals, and they're described in certain different ways and so on. But what is specifically the major difference? What's the major difference? Can't see? If you look on these two pages, there's a major difference. Which you just mentioned. Alright, so let's go through, let's see the Devarim. What the list of festivals? Beginning of chapter 16, the first festival is?
In Aviv, Pesach.
Pesach. Then follows verse 9.
Verse 9, you have 7 weeks, you don't
know. Shavuot.
At Shavuot, yeah.
What from verse 13, next one?
The Feast of Booths.
That's. Which is what?
Sukkot.
Sukkot.
It doesn't mention.
What's missing?
Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Yeah, why are they missing? And then in fact it ends by saying, if you look at this, there's a clue is given in verse 16. What does it say, verse 16?
Three times a year shall you go to the place which Hashem will choose.
The whole of Sefer Devarim is filled with expressions of the place which Hashem will choose.
But you know,
that means the centrality of the Ha-Muriah, the Beit HaMikdash. And there it still mentions three festivals. But it just mentioned three. Why didn't it mention Rishon Yom Kippur?
They're not festivals. You have to come to the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur?
No.
Ah, no. But it's not all irregular. And the same about Yom
Shoshan also.
Rosh Hashanah. But it says on the seventh day, the first day of the seventh month. It doesn't say anything here where I've said. It doesn't say anything about Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
Why is it Rosh Hashanah?
Why not? Why doesn't it mention Rosh Hashanah?
It says on the seventh month. It doesn't seem to say the first month. It says the seventh month. Hmm? So why does it say anything about Rosh Hashanah? Mm-hmm.
So what's the answer? What's the answer? Can they explain why? I explained why. Like this. Nearly all the mitzvot given in Sefer Devarim are those aspects which are especially important for the centralized service of the Beit HaMikdash. There are many mitzvot given which are entirely dependent upon the land and don't apply if you're not in the land. Early on, the mitzvot are primarily the mitzvot which apply everywhere, yeah, in the previous books. So therefore, the mitzvah of Shon Yom Kippur applies everywhere. You have to keep it. You have to fast even if you're in Honolulu. And even wherever you are in America, in Europe, you have to apply, have to fast in Yom Kippur, just like to fast in Eretz Yisrael. You have to observe, listening to the shofar everywhere. It's called Teruah, Shoshana. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, also these mitzvahs apply everywhere in Eretz Yisrael. But the emphasis is on what extra aspect is there which brings the whole nation together in the service of the temple. And for that, there are only three regalim. Only Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot are festivals when a person's got an obligation to bring his offering in Yerushalayim. But the other festivals, there's no such obligation. So therefore, the others aren't mentioned. And if you look carefully, this is particularly to do with the way in which the centralized service in Beit HaMikdash should influence the rest of the nation. They've got a din of Aliyah L'Regel. Other days, the people are asked, stay at home, to show you have to shoot, you've got to make wherever you are in the world. And you keep, you have to observe everywhere. But it says, b'chol moshvoteichem, it emphasizes. Now, in the light of all this, we'll also now see what's the difference in the description of counting the Omer. Because in Devarim, it only mentions count the weeks. And that's the only place where it mentions it's called the Festival of Shavuot, Festival of Weeks. So we see the Festival of Weeks is the week aspect of counting. Is specifically connected with the divine service in Beit HaMikdash. And specially connected with Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. The counting of the days is separate. It's still counting to the Omer. And because it's like this, if the Omer would only mean the offering brought in the Beit HaMikdash, that would be the only meaning of it, then it would be difficult to understand. But I already told you, I think even here as well, the Omer itself, why is it given that name? Before we learned this other sugi, you wouldn't be able to understand it. Why is it called the Omer?
Why is it defining ourselves?
But what is the Omer?
Omer is a measurement.
It's a measurement. Where does that measurement start? If it would only start at the Beit HaMikdash,
with Mama,
say it
doesn't.
It?
Huh?
With the Mon. And the Mon was before there was a Beit HaMikdash. Before the Torah was given. And that's, when you count to the Omer, you don't only count to this small measure of flour from barley, which is brought to the temple, but you count from the Omer as it's mentioned originally. In the desert, it's the Mon. And the Mon has universal significance. As we explained, the Mon teaches us every Shabbos is the source of your livelihood. And our Kodesh Baruch Hu will see to it, you have enough if for the whole week, if you observe the Shabbos will provide for your sustenance constantly. So there was since the Omer is even before the Beit HaMikdash, before the giving of the Torah, therefore the counting that's mentioned of the days, to count the days to the Omer, is something which applies whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or whether you apply elsewhere. So I'll tell you this like this. I told you the major big part Rishonim. So the Rambam says, counting the Omer is a mitzvah for all times, everywhere. Both days and weeks, he says. And the Tosfos and the Rosh and the others, they say it's the Rabbanon today because there's no Beit HaMikdash. And one of the earliest authorities called Rabbi Yerucham is counting the days, it's the law of the Torah, counting the weeks, the law of the Torah applies everywhere, counting the weeks is dependent whether you've got Beis HaMikdash. If you don't have Beis HaMikdash, it's only the Rabbonim. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they said two brachas, one on counting the weeks and one counting the days. But today, when we don't have Beis HaMikdash, so you can only say a bracha on the one of counting the days. Because the days are tied to the Omer everywhere, to the original Omer. They apply even if there's no offering brought. But the original Omer was before the offerings, was the Mon. That applies always. And counting the weeks. That's a Shiva Shoh Tzitzkolov, it's when you've got Beit HaMikdash. And maybe the Rama also, in the outlook, holds the same. He says it's really one mitzvah. Count the weeks and the... So how can it be mitzvah when there's no Omer? The Rambam might also say he says we don't, since the mitzvah of counting the Omer is mentioned in connection with the offerings and also has a concept beyond the offerings, therefore it applies at all times. It's one unified mitzvah. But even if he's based also on, perhaps on the outlook that the Omer precedes the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, it applies for all times, even when you have the additional offerings of it leading to Shtei HaLechem. So this is a bit of a chiddush, but I think if we take together the lesson we learned from the origin of the Omer, and then we can develop the concept of the individual improvement of each person, which comes to internalize the lesson of the Shabbat. Well, that's the basis of it. The lesson of Shabbat is taught in the desert with the Mon. And then when you have a Beit HaMikdash, we have this concept of the week, which we'll go into. But let's say, all offerings you want to bring the Beit HaMikdash of animals, it says that the animal can only be offered up from the eighth day onwards. For the first 7 days, Shabbat Yilev, only afterwards, from the eighth day, it becomes suitable for a korban. So that we'll explain next year, that this concept of seven is closely connected with the divine service, the Beit HaMikdash.
What?
But the concept of counting 49 days is concerned with each individual service. We'd say, limno, chameinu, keino, da. How can a person grow only becomes each day?
Can I ask a question? Why is it barley and not wheat, which is food for men?
Yeah.
Where in the desert, the man was food for man. So why do they bring barley, which is food for animals, and not wheat?
Well, can you give your answer? You already gave the answer a few times. Because as long as you don't take upon yourself to grow from the level of a human, two-legged animal, then you can't receive the Torah. Yeah. You've got to work hard to go up the ladder that leads you from the animalistic power in the human being to recognize the supremacy of the divine image in the human being.
Elochit nefesh baheima to nefesh elochit.
Yeah.